Good morning. It's quite a lovely day, isn't it? We've been battling the elements all morning. And thankfully, the Lord provides every time we need something. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we'll be starting today. Just a reminder, last week we talked about being a watchman out of Ezekiel chapter 33 and what that means to be watchful of dangers around and how to warn people and all those things and how to warn ourselves to make sure that we ourselves are in the right place. But today the Lord has really just put it on my heart to go to Hebrews chapter 12. So we're going to go Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1 and read all the way down through verse 2, okay? So if you would stand with me, we'll read together and then you can be seated for a long, long time, at least like 2.5 hours, okay? All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you purchased our freedom on the cross. And when we sing songs like "Great Are You, Lord," and "Thank You, Lord," that's really what we're saying. Thank you for taking our place, for being our substitute, for taking on our death so that we might live spiritually with you in heaven forever. And so today, Father, I just ask that you give everyone ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand. Lord, allow us to push aside every distraction so that we may be able to draw close to you in this moment. Thank you for a wonderful time of praise and worship. Thank you for the words that Joe spoke, that Pat spoke, that Bob spoke, that the words that were sang by all of us corporately here together. Lord, allow this to be a day where we change our hearts and minds and draw closer to you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you may be seated. Couple things here to start off with. It says, we're surrounded by witnesses, and it says a great cloud of witnesses. And really from this part of the text, you don't know what that's talking about. You say, well, what cloud of witnesses? And then at the very beginning of verse 1, it says, therefore. And a guy once told me, whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, you need to know what the therefore is there for. So you normally, when there's a therefore, you need to go back to see what was said before it, because this is just reiterating a previous point, okay? So I'd like for everyone to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to read about the heroes of faith. And some people refer to this as the hall of faith. And this is a very, very important principle that we get this today. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to read down. We're going to let God's Word instruct us today. How about that? Okay, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things," what? "Not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Now here's a key scripture here. Look at verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," him being God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So we're saying nothing is impossible, right? Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. It's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible, right? Through who nothing is impossible? Through Jesus. Amen? But here it says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. I think we should know that. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him being God, faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky, a multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in what? Faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Guess who else He's prepared a city for? Me and you. Okay? By what? Faith. Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And when he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in the figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughters, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Here's that word again. By what? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies in peace, or with peace. So what do you think that the sermon's about today? Faith. Man, we got some scholars in here. Even the kids were like, "I know this one." You notice that all of these folks here are called faithful, that they had exhibited faith at some point. Verse 6, notice, we'll come back to it. Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. You want to be pleasing to God? The best thing you can do is put your faith in Him. Because there's answers you do not have. There's wisdom you do not have. There's strength that you do not have. Paul himself said, "When I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm poor, I'm rich." That's a contradiction. We would look at a person that says that and say, "You're crazy." You can't be both at the same time. What was Paul talking about? The strength of the Lord. The richness of the Lord. Sometimes we look at the temporal things as though they're everything. The stuff that we see has no eternal value. The Bible says it will be burned up. By faith, that's how you please God. If we were to go back to chapter 10 and look at verse 39, let's look at that. Chapter 10 is a big warning chapter to those people who said that they were believers and drew back. A lot of people will say that these are Judaizers that ran so close with Christians, they were indistinguishable. But then they drew back to their own traditions as opposed to living and walking by faith in Christ for their righteousness, their salvation. So chapter 10 is this big warning chapter. And I'd urge everybody in here to read through the whole book of Hebrews, but especially chapter 10. But look at verse 39. Here's Paul's call, or we don't know if it's Paul, but many people think Paul wrote Hebrews. It says, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." What is perdition? Perdition means damnation or hell. That means judgment. He says, we're not those that draw back. We're those that believe unto salvation. We're not like these that are half in and half out. We're not like these that say that they are, but they're really not. We're not like those. We're not of those. We're not of that type. We're of the type that believe unto salvation. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please God. And some of these heroes of faith that we see here, when I read through this list the first time many years ago, I thought, do what? God counted these faithful? Because I remember the stories that I read in the Old Testament. Let me go down this list. Noah was considered faithful, was he not? Yes, we just read about him. But did you know that after the flood, Noah planted a vineyard? Did you know after that he got drunk off his rear end? Did you know that after that it caused his son to uncover his nakedness, which caused his son to be cursed and his son's descendants to be cursed after him? Noah, to me, was not always faithful, but here he's included in the Hall of Faith. Just like Joe Montana's in the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady will be one day, and I know some of y'all don't want to hear that, and I don't even like the Patriots, but he'll be there. He'll go down, greatest of all time. He'll go down that way. Watch it. Abraham. Father Abraham counted as faithful here. But I remember other things about Abraham too. I remember that he lied to Abimelech about who his wife was. And then Abimelech took Sarah in and was about to consummate a relationship with her because Abraham was afraid. He let his fear cause him to lie, and his lie almost cost him his marriage and everything else. But the Lord intervened. But Abraham here is considered to be faithful. Sarah, she's considered faithful here, that she believed God. But she laughed when she heard that she was going to have a baby after being really old. Remember that story? I remember that story. It's just as much a part of the Bible as this part is. But God still counted her faithful. Watch this. Jacob conned his brother, Esau. Remember that? Jacob's name means the supplanter, the one who takes by the heel. Another word is defrauder, deceitful, that you could use there. He conned his brother out of his birthright. But Jacob is considered faithful. And through his line is the blessings. Moses. He's considered faithful here. They talked a lot about Moses here. Remember when Moses refused to speak to the rock? He struck it instead. What was his punishment? He didn't get to enter the what? The promised land. Rahab, need I say more, was a prostitute. But she was considered faithful. She's put in the Hall of Faith for the time that she was faithful. Then later on it goes down to list people like Samson. Samson was a great judge, but Samson was also a womanizer. He broke his Nazaritic law his vow several times. He drank when he was not supposed to drink. He spent time with harlots. He married a Philistine, which was outside of the will of God at that time. But Samson goes down as someone in the Hall of Faith too, toward the end of the chapter. David, think about King David. Certainly we would say he's faithful, he's a man after God's own heart, right? David was also a murderous adulterer. It's a great contradiction here. But here all of these are held up as examples of faith. What does that mean? That means none of them were perfect. Sometimes people will tell me, well, you know, this one was a type of Christ and therefore they were without sin. I don't believe that for a second. When I read through this, I read about flawed character traits. That Christ had to come and die for every one of them just like He did for every one of us. Sometimes we put people up on a pedestal. But you know, it's interesting that God counted these faithful. And how do we know God counted them faithful? Because it's recorded in the Bible. This is His breathed Word of God. But it doesn't stop there with our Old Testament heroes. It goes on. Look at verse 32 of chapter 11. It says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson." And that's not Barack Obama, okay? Barak and Samson and Jephthah, this is before him, okay? And also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned flight the armies of the aliens. And that's not ancient aliens like from outer space, okay? That means outsiders from different countries. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, and yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through what? Faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Meaning we all get the same inheritance. Those who are of the household of what? Faith. Those who are of the household of faith. We see here that many people endured painfully to the end. You look at the lives of many of the first apostles of the Church of Christ, they died horrifically. Verse 38 says that the world was not worthy of them. And how did they obtain a good testimony? Through what? Faith. And even better, will be made perfect with them. Now let's go back to chapter 12, verse 1, and you'll see what we're talking about here. So we've just read about all these heroes of the faith, and now let's read verse 1 in context now. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know what this gives me comfort in? That I am not alone. There have been people that have come before me that were able to make it. And how did they make it? Through Jesus, the author, the creator, the originator, and finisher of our faith. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us." What weight? I would say these weights are strongholds, distractions, and fears. Sometimes in life we won't move forward because we're too afraid to go. Sometimes we won't step out because we're too afraid to step out. These people we just read were sawn in two. Get that picture in your mind. Murdered for their faith. And sometimes we're so hesitant to go and do because we don't want ridicule. Cowardly lions. What did he want? He wanted a heart, didn't he? Courage, courage. Who wanted the heart? The tin man? Who wanted the brain? That's all Wizard of Oz. It's all demonic anyway. Wizards. Wizards, Harry Potter. No, just picking. Lay aside the weights. Sometimes we burden ourselves down with stuff so much that we can't move, that we can't run the race. You ever tried to run with weights on? I remember when I used to train for basketball and football, I used to run with 5-pound ankle weights. I would run like 5 miles with 5-pound ankle weights. Now if I ran 50 feet with 5-pound ankle weights, I'd need to be in the hospital for a while. But 5-pound ankle weights I'd run with. I ran with a weighted vest. At one point, I even wore these things called strength shoes, which put you up on your tiptoes because I wanted to dunk a basketball. So I'd run with these things on for miles and miles and miles a day. I never dunked a basketball. But it made it harder to run. But it was like something magical happened when I'd wear these ankle weights for football, and then all of a sudden I would take them off at the end of summer. I'd run all summer with those weights on my feet. And that's hard to do. I'm racing my brother. I'm racing my best buddy who would go work out with me. We're running down the field, running down the field. I'm doing all I can do just to stay with them. And then at the end of summer, I would finally take them off. And man, I felt fast. I don't know how fast I was, but I sure felt fast. But I could run faster. My legs were stronger because I wasn't carrying all this weight. Jesus says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. He will give you rest. He will take that weight from you. But you have to be willing to give it up. Strongholds are weights. Do you have an addiction that you just can't kick? Do you have something in your life right now that plagues you? That every time you try to give it up, you run right back to it. You promise God you'll stop, you do it again. You promise God you'll stop, you do it again. You swear to Him, if you just forgive me this time, I'll serve you forever. You do it again. Do you have a stronghold in your life? Something that so easily ensnares you. It's almost too easy for the devil to get at you in that way. For some people, it's pride. For some people, it's addictions, all kinds of things. Do you have a stronghold? Are you burdened down? Do you have all this weight pressing you down? It says, let us lay that weight aside. And then it says, and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And I'd say those two things work together. But I would also say that the sin that so easily ensnares us is unbelief. A lack of faith. And the reason why I believe that is the entire chapter before, all we're talking about is faith. Faith, faith, faith. It is impossible to please God without what? Faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith that Jesus is who He said He was. Faith that He's the source of your salvation. That God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, verse 6 said in chapter 11. Lay aside those weights and that sin. And run the race of faith and obedience. Are you running a race? Are you jogging? Are you walking? Are you standing still or going backwards? Where are you at currently, you yourself, in your personal walk with the Lord? Are you running or are you at a standstill? Remember that old Paul Abdul song, Two Steps Forward, Two Steps Back? Or is that who you are? Are you going forward and backwards all the time? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and that counts for women too. See, one person got it. Let's run the race. And then the question, how do you run the race? The verse 2 tells us, by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking at His example, He endured the cross. He endured the cross because He knew what was coming after that. Are you willing to endure this life because you know what's coming after it? Are you willing to give up the low-hanging fruit in this world for something better? I've got a whole series I want to do on low-hanging fruit. It's so easy just to reach up and grab it and be distracted by it, but it keeps you from your goal. How do we run this race? By putting our faith in Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. There's a great contradiction to some in the Bible. To me, it's not a contradiction. To me, it makes perfect sense. The book of Romans tells us that no one seeks God and no one understands. But here we read in chapter 11, verse 6, that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How is that possible? I'll tell you how that's possible. No one, in and of their own humanness, seeks after God. We have a fallen nature. The only way we can even seek Him is if He's drawing us. What does the Bible say? No man comes to the Lord except the Spirit draws him. He's constantly drawing all of humanity. Our job is to say, yes, Lord. That's it. He's the author of your faith. He's where it begins. And He's the finisher of your faith. He is exactly where it ends. You know, I look back to those fallen heroes and or what I would say are complicated characters of the Old Testament. They're recorded as having all this faith, but when we look at the day-to-day of their lives, they didn't always get it right. And sometimes we feel like we can't serve God because we don't always get it right. Sometimes we feel like we failed Him and He's not pleased with us because we don't always get it right. What does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't say without perfection. You are going to fail. At some point, you are going to be flawed. At some point, you are going to make mistakes. At some point, can you believe that, Bo? Like, there's times I'm going to make a mistake. I'm waiting for that to happen. No. Marie's back; she's gone, so that's good. I can say those things. I can say those things. You know, we're all going to slip. We're all going to have strongholds that cause us to get, the Bible says, so easily ensnared. Think about that. When you go out and set a snare trap or something for an animal, you know it's there. The animal doesn't. And sometimes we look at that situation like, how's that dumb animal not know what's about to happen to them? They just can't see it. Sometimes we don't see what's tangling us up. Lord, forgive us for not being faithful as we should be faithful. God loves you so much. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You so much that You fight our battles for us. I thank You so much that You would consider someone like me faithful, or some of us in this room faithful, even though we've made horrific mistakes. Mistakes that if somebody saw them, they wouldn't view us the same way. Father, I thank You that You are faithful. That You are the author and the finisher of my faith. A faith that says that I believe that You are the resurrected Son of God. Jesus Christ came to live and die and take my place on that cross, and that You, God, our Heavenly Father, raised Him up on the third day as a symbol that we will all be resurrected with Him. I thank You for beginning our faith in that way. Lord, we need You to finish it. Father, give us the faith that we need. Your Word says in Romans chapter 12 that You've already given us the measure of faith for whatever we're going to come across. We just have to exercise that faith. We have to trust that you are faithful, that you wouldn't put us in a position where we would not be able to perform. You would not put us in a place of failure. You would put us in a place where we could be victorious. Father, today, if there's anyone that's struggling with their faith in you, I'd ask that you not give them peace to leave here today without talking to somebody. They can stay and talk to me up here at the altar if they'd like. I don't want to beg anybody to come down here. I don't want to manipulate them into coming in. But if you've never made a stand in faith, maybe today's your day. If you have, and maybe you've wandered, maybe you're a person that your faith has wavered, I just pray right now that you would lay it all down. Whatever that weight is, whatever that sin is that keeps ensnaring you, tangling you up, tripping you up, I'd ask right now in Jesus' name that those bonds be broken over your life. And we can receive that and expect it and accept it in Jesus' name. Because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He promised to give us rest. He promised to set us free. He promised to mend our hearts. He promised to heal us. What are you battling today where you just need a little bit of faith? Some belief that you're not in this alone. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You're not in it alone. You have the entire counsel of God on your side. Are you willing to lay it down today and run the race? Take the ankle weights off and just run the race. I want to see lifted hands up all over the assembly this morning. Just lift your hands up to the sky and let's just pray to God together. Father, right now in Jesus' name, give us the strength to overcome. Give us the strength to exercise our faith. And believe that you are good and that you're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we pray that every weight and sin and stronghold in people's lives would be broken. Right now, in this moment, break it. That fear has no place in this house. That fear has no place in this assembly, has no place in your personal life when you walk out the door. That right now, we are going to have faith that you're going to give us the courage to run. The heart to believe you for what your word says, without doubting. When we stumble, we have faith to believe that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us put our faith where it belongs, not in ourselves, not in politicians, not in our pocketbooks or our jobs or our family members. Let us put our faith where it belongs in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray all this in His most precious and holy name, and we thank you. Amen. Amen.